Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome back to the Cryptoconomy Podcast. I got a really fun one today for digital assets built on top of Monero, which is interesting because one of the aspects of Monero is that kind of scripting and some of the more advanced multi-signature aspects are kind of difficult on Monero because of its obfuscation. And so it's interesting to finally see these kind of things start to develop. But we'll discuss a little bit more afterward. This one was on BitcoinMagazine.com. It was posted not yesterday, but the day before, I think. Okay, so the 22nd, so 3 days ago. And it's by Eric Keebler. He's a return to the Cryptoconomy Quick Reads. And it's titled, Tari Introduces a Blockchain Protocol for Digital Assets Built on Monero. So let's go ahead and jump in. Tari, a new open-source blockchain protocol, aims to redefine the digital asset experience. Backed by institutional investors including Redpoint, Trinity Ventures, Canaan Partners, Pantera, and Multicoin Capital, its founders Ricardo Fluffy Pony Spanyi, lead maintainer of the Monero cryptocurrency, Naveen Jain, a serial entertainment industry entrepreneur, and Dan Terry, co-founder of Ticketfly, hope to simplify the management, trade, programmability, and use of all digital assets. Current state of digital assets. Quote, today, most digital assets, such as event tickets, in-game items, loyalty points, and virtual currencies, are siloed due to restrictions that limit their use in secondary market trade, end quote. Jain said in an interview with Bitcoin Magazine. Businesses primarily enact these restrictions to control assets after their distribution, verify an asset holder's identity, and prevent fraudulent counterfeiting. Siloed digital assets aren't ideal for consumers or businesses. Consumers don't enjoy true ownership of the digital assets they purchase or earn because they must comply with secondary market restrictions and regulations, and businesses miss out on billions of dollars generated from the secondary digital asset resales that occur on outside channels. For example, consider a frequent Delta flyer who takes one Lufthansa flight a year and is unable to trade his or her Lufthansa miles that are unlikely to be redeemed, for Delta miles. Or the millions of dollars in ticket resale revenues that artists like Beyoncé miss out on after issuing tickets for their world tours. Once Beyoncé sells a $100 ticket to the original buyer, she does not participate in the secondary market resale economics when the original buyer resells his or her ticket for $500, and then the secondary market scalper turns around and sells the ticket a third time for $1,000 the night before the show. Revamped digital assets. By leveraging blockchain technology, the Tari protocol enables consumers and businesses to break down walled gardens between businesses, sell and trade scarce digital assets with programmed rules, and record immutable transfer and verification of ownership. The Tari protocol hopes to unlock additional utility for digital asset users and enable true digital asset ownership and control. By utilizing the Tari protocol, the aforementioned Delta flyer can perhaps trade his or her Lufthansa miles for Delta miles, and artists like Beyoncé can issue their world tour tickets with programmed rules that allow them to capture and control secondary market value. Beyoncé could hard-code rules such as, tickets can only be resold 3 times. Beyoncé is entitled to 10% of any ticket resale and tickets are not resellable 24 hours before the show. John Pleasance, former CEO of Ticketmaster and COO of Electronic Arts, thinks that the TARI protocol will open up free trade between a variety of industries. Quote, TARI can help the entire live entertainment industry recover billions in lost revenue by better controlling how tickets are sold and resold. From a gaming perspective, the ability to buy and sell virtual goods on a distributed system across different platforms can greatly improve both monetization for publishers and the overall consumer experience. End quote. TARI Protocol, under the hood. According to Spanje, the TARI Protocol will be built on top of Monero. Specifically, TARI will be a merged mined sidechain of Monero. Merged mining allows for two cryptocurrencies to be mined simultaneously based on the same algorithm. In this case, it is Monero's proof-of-work algorithm that miners must solve. The TARI token powers the TARI protocol, serves as an incentive for miners to mine Monero, and for validators to accurately validate the network's rules. Quote, to give miners an incentive to merged mine your chain, there needs to be a reward. We can't pay them in Monero, so we need to have a native token that merged miners receive. TARI tokens will also be used as an incentive for rule validation. Users have the opportunity to put TARI tokens in an escrow account and passively run a program that validates protocol rules on their computer. If they behave and validate the rules correctly, they will earn tokens and keep their escrow, end quote, explained Spanje. Merged mining with Monero. Because TARI is merged mining, the team doesn't have to recruit new miners. Instead, Monero mining pools can, quote, flip a switch or tweak their settings and mine both Monero and TARI simultaneously. Spanje also pointed out that merged mining with Monero's proof-of-work system doesn't incur additional electricity costs or environmental damage risks traditionally associated with proof-of-work, since miners aren't burning more cycles. Spanje also noted that, quote, all the proof-of-work chains burn less electricity than Visa. We're getting to a point where a solid proof-of-work chain can provide the same, if not greater, capabilities of Visa, end quote. TARI community. The TARI team noted that there is no, quote, core team for Monero. Jane noted, quote, we don't want single points of failure. We are co-founders and contributors, but not the only contributors. There are lots of smart people within and outside the organization. We want far more external contributors than internal contributors. In fact, we want hundreds, if not thousands, of contributors over time, end quote. For reference, the Monero protocol had around 150 contributors within the last 12 months. Potential issues. Although TARI aims to revamp the way consumers and businesses interact with digital assets, the team has various obstacles to overcome. Adoption. Is it favorable for businesses to allow their assets to trade on a secondary market? And will businesses amend their terms and user agreements to allow secondary market liquidity for their digital assets? For example, airline loyalty points are currently an illiquid market. Wall Street analysts have pointed out that the sale of these loyalty points can equal up to half of an airline's yearly earnings before interest and taxes, but airlines might want loyalty points to expire unredeemed. That way, airlines can increase revenue without having to discount travel for customers who don't take advantage of their loyalty points. Scalability. Because the TARI protocol intends to become the underlying protocol for the transfer of digital assets, they will need to handle, quote, many tens of thousands of transactions per second, end quote, according to Jane. The team plans to use Lightning as the primary throughput mechanic for TARI. Spanje explained, quote, we're building a standards-compliant Lightning router that will be compatible with Bitcoin, Monero, and TARI. We will also achieve additional throughput by building a Mimblewimble chain. This way, transactions won't be stored on the blockchain in their entirety, just kernels, end quote. The TARI protocol has yet to deploy a testnet boasting any transaction capabilities, not to mention Visa-level performance. Disclosure: the author has an investment in TARI. And that was by Eric Keebler at BitcoinMagazine.com. This one is particularly exciting because we're finally getting to see sidechain tech get rolled out in the real world. I mean, granted, TARI does not have a testnet yet, and it is still conceptual and under development, but I think we're finally seeing, we've got Liquid from Blockstream, which is a federated model, so it is semi-centralized, and this one, because TARI will be merged mined, it'll be interesting to see if this is something that's quickly adopted by essentially the entire Monero mining community, or if we've only got, 20-30% of the network that's even interested in merge mining with that, which could leave it open, because it's still its own blockchain with its own mining. Like, if only 20% of the Monero miners decide that they want to play this game, it leaves it open to, 5%, 10% of the network coming in and causing really big problems. Very similar to the way we've seen Bitcoin Gold and Electronium and Verge get hit with these 51% attacks recently that have caused really, really significant problems. And there's an article, I have not yet decided if I want to read this one, but there's an article that's really good out there. I don't know if I have it on hand. It's about Ethereum Classic and how profitable an attack would be on the network. Because as I'm sure you know, Ethereum Classic uses the exact same hashing algorithm as Ethereum. So the huge pool of mining power on Ethereum could... they referenced one pool in particular that if they just took 10% away from Ethereum and pushed it onto Ethereum Classic, they could dominate the entire chain and do double spins, essentially censor transactions on the network, prevent people from spending, imagine they use the example of, like, they put $10 million on an exchange somewhere, trade it out for another coin, Bitcoin or Ethereum, something that can't be double spent, withdraw it, and all the while they're mining a longer hidden chain alone on their own network, and then they broadcast that chain. As soon as they get the withdrawal in the secure token or the secure coin, they release these four blocks that they've been mining that no longer have that transaction, the deposit transaction in it. So the Ethereum Classic that they traded goes back to their account, and they get to keep the Ethereum or the Bitcoin, whatever they traded it for. There's some serious implications to having these additional proof-of-work chains. Even if it's a side chain, it still presents a bit of an issue there. But we might not see that at all. TARI might be, because it's merged mineable, we might just see where it's just... boom, okay, everybody just jumps right on, and the entire Monero mining community is also mining TARI. One thing to note, actually, on Bitcoin Magazine, the article had a disclosure at the end that Eric has an investment in TARI. There is no TARI token yet, so I'm not exactly sure how they have an investment in TARI, but it's not because if you actually go to the website and their FAQ, they actually say, we're not doing a pre-sale, we're not doing an ICO. I think they're trying to make sure that they're not going to be declassified as a security or anything. And TARI will simply go live, and you will be able to mine it and earn the token by participating in the network when it's live. But nobody has any, heads up on secret TARI tokens. A digital asset sidechain, I'm still, because of what's going on with Ethereum right now, if you haven't listened to yesterday's episode, it's really good. It's by Stop and Decrypt, and it's about Ethereum under a lot of stress right now because of the size of the blockchain and the cost of staying synced with the network. Their uncle rate, if you look on etherscan.io, their uncle rate, which is essentially the orphan rate in reference to Bitcoin. It's when blocks are dropped because the state is, the network's trying to agree on what state it is and propagation is slow. So somebody mines a block and then the block is not accepted by the network, essentially. The uncle rate for Ethereum is like 30% or something right now, and it is trending up. It's growing pretty steadily, which is not a good trend to be in. So with all of this happening, I think it's slowly becoming clear that we're using these blockchains in the wrong way. That if you're running into a situation like even Vitalik's rebuttal, and I linked to that in the Twitter post, but even his rebuttal doesn't really address the issue. He even says that, like, oh, well, we've flatlined at like 10 gigabytes a month for growth, and that'll be fine, and we'll have snarks out soon, I mean, sharding out soon, and all this stuff. And it's kind of like, well, that's not really, that kind of begs the question is, like, so now Ethereum can't scale anymore on the base layer, but we're still trading CryptoKitties on it? Like now we've got this, what we denote as clearly a very scarce asset or scarce resource that we're saying is like, okay, well, now we've reached the max and we pretty much can't, he's admitting that we can't grow anymore, and the Ethereum shouldn't grow anymore at the base chain because these problems are real. But then we're still trading CryptoKitties and Pepe Farm and all that crap. So, like, those immediately, essentially, that they're non-viable. It's like, well, these should not be on the base chain. And in that same sense, every time we create a token, we're causing we're making a new translation problem, a new pricing problem and liquidity problem, and it's an inefficiency in the market rather than an efficiency. So there's a lot of implications involved in all of this, and what's actually adding to the usability and efficiency of this stuff, and what's taking it away without realizing kind of or narrowing down to the core goal. Granted, Tari is going to use Lightning Network, as was stated in the article, and actually, in complete honesty, the most exciting thing about this whole article was when I got to the end, when I read this originally, is a Fluffy Pony said, and I'll read the whole quote again, "We're building a standards-compliant Lightning router that will be compatible with Bitcoin, Monero, and Tari. We will also achieve additional throughput by building a Mimblewimble chain. This way, transactions won't be stored on the blockchain in their entirety, just kernels," end quote. So that's really, really interesting. And when he says a standards-compliant Lightning router, I'm hoping that he's meaning a literal piece of hardware, because that's actually something I've been playing around with the concept for quite a while. Is hardware is by far, like, specialized hardware built around security is so important in this space. If you are holding any significant amount of these digital assets and you do not have a hardware wallet, you need to get one immediately. They're absolutely key to security. And because of that, a Lightning router, like an actual device that you would have to maintain your node on the payment network, is actually a really, really clever idea. And I feel like it's not out of the question for it to move in that direction. Because first we have our informational network, and it's got its own router and modem and everything. Why would we not want one built specifically around a financial network, particularly if this is going to become decentralized and we're going to want to maintain our own keys and our own security on this network? I mean, you know, 20 years ago, everybody, you had a 56K modem, you had one connection, you had one computer. So we didn't need any specialized hardware for routing or anything, but shortly thereafter, we started to realize, oh, we're going to have 10 devices in the house. Oh, we're going to want to maintain 50 different connections. I'm going to leave 80 tabs open in my damn browser. We need a device specialized in regulating all of our internet traffic and keeping it secure, adding a new layer of security and a firewall between my devices and the rest of the devices on the internet, so on and so forth. And I think the need that was there for the normal internet is even more, like the incentive is even greater for a financial network, for Bitcoin, for these decentralized cryptocurrencies, because there's so much more at stake. And so if he's talking about a piece of hardware, which I'm assuming here, I guess he could be talking about software, just a client that behaves like a router. But if he's talking about a piece of hardware, I really want to learn more about what's going on there, because that is exciting to me. And then, of course, Mimblewimble. I'm always excited about Mimblewimble, even though I cannot find any new information about it. I'll go back and watch the few things on it that I've already seen before. So scaling in this way. And he says the Lightning will be compatible with Monero. And so I looked it up a little bit, and it appears, or at least there are people on Reddit who are saying, so take that with a grain of salt, that Monero is compatible with Lightning, and I wasn't certain that it was. I thought Monero, because of their obfuscation, had limitations with their script that made it very difficult to implement second-layer protocols like Lightning. But he says this will be Monero compatible, so I may be wrong about that. And like I said, other people on Reddit are saying that, oh, no, it's compatible. They're adding multi-sig. It's not quite there yet, but that it's becoming a thing. But then in that case, it's kind of like, well, wait a second. Why do we need Tari? Then why do we need a sidechain if it's just going to use Lightning? Couldn't it be just a network in and of itself, like a payments network on top of Monero? So maybe there is some additional scripting in there for issuing the assets that Monero can't handle, and so it's done as a sidechain. But regardless, this is a really interesting development, and I'm gonna stay on top of all this sidechain stuff. I always read about sidechains, the Liquid coming out, the non-interactive proofs of proof of work. Those are on the horizon now, so I want to see those come out, because I would like to see a sidechain that doesn't have its own token, because I don't think it's necessary. I don't know, the economics of that is a little weird. It's because in this case, nobody's going to mine sidechain if there's no token, if there's no reward. Nobody mines anything without a reward. So that's one of those things where, how do you do a two-way peg? Because Liquid obviously doesn't, it's a two-way peg with Bitcoin. And because of that, it's a federated system. There is no mining involved in Liquid. It's essentially, it's kind of like a proof of stake on top of Bitcoin's proof of work. So there's still a whole lot up in the air here, and I can't wait. There is no Tari token yet, and there is no network on Testnet yet either. So we're still waiting for all of this to come out, but this is kind of an introduction and announcement that this is here, and this is going to be a thing on Monero, and that is pretty exciting. So with that, I think I've rambled on quite enough here. Thank you guys for joining me. Don't forget to check out the article on Bitcoin Magazine and Eric Keebler's other stuff. He's a return writer to the Crypto Economy Quick Reads here. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at The Crypto Economy and Medium as well. And I've been having a hard time finding, it kind of gets pushed to the side because there's so much other stuff going on, but if you have any information on Mimblewimble or find something doing a deeper dive into some of these sidechains and stuff, please message me. In fact, send it to thecryptoeconomy@pm.me, which is a Proton Mail shortcut. So that's @pm.me, thecryptoeconomy. So if you have any information on that, I would absolutely love to hear it. Or you can, of course, just tag me on Twitter and link to it. And of course, follow or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and share it with all your friends who want to know what's going on in the crypto economy, because I will be staying on it, and I will be here at the Crypto Economy Podcast. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. Take it easy.